The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. We thank God for a new day. It is the day the Lord has made. Well, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. Well, we are in our Fruit of the Spirit series. And today is part four. We're going to be doing long suffering today. Long suffering. One word together like that. Long suffering. Oh, you can write it as two words. Right away, you can see that if you break it up as two words, then you can see it means suffering long. Praise the Lord. So we're going to get into it. Just a few scriptures today that we want to talk about, you know. So, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That's been our memory verse, which also led to this series. Now we see that from that memory verse, long suffering is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, let's try to define it. According to some dictionary definitions, long suffering could be the quality. Well, I took some part of the dictionary and then massaged it up a little bit. Long-suffering is the quality or character of having or showing patience in spite of or in the face of troubles or evil, especially those that might be caused by others or external factors. So that's some part of that is taken from the dictionary. Some part was expanded. I expanded it to give more clarity, you know. So long suffering again is the quality or character of having or showing patience in spite of or in the face of troubles or evil, especially those that might be caused by others or external factors. It is the virtue of being patient and tolerant or slow to anger and of putting up with difficulties, discomfort, and trouble. So you can see there's a lot of attributes inside this long suffering. A virtue of being patient, being tolerant, being slow to anger, able to put up with difficulties, able to suffer, you know, and, you know, yet don't give up. Suffer discomfort sometimes, suffer even trouble sometimes. You know, so it's all packed into that one attribute called long-suffering. You could think of it as being rugged and enduring, you know, with lasting, you call it lasting endurance, you know, rugged and enduring, and you know, lasting endurance. You know, long-suffering, you can see, is actually one of the first attributes that God pronounced about himself. And he was talking to Moses in Exodus chapter 34. In Exodus chapter 33, we see Moses asking the Lord to show him the glory of the Lord. And the Lord gave him instruction that he will pass by and he needed to go stand in a certain place. And when the Lord passed by, so let's pick up that story. When the Lord passed by him, according to the instruction he gave him, then the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. So let's read it. Exodus 34 and verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and I will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. So this is God declaring his own name, you know. So this is what, if you read the first, the verse that was before that, the Lord descended in the cloud and the Lord stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So the Lord, this is what the Lord had to say about himself. Not so much what people said about him, but this is what he said about himself. We have many names given to the Lord throughout the scriptures because of people's experiences with the Lord. All the names, Jehovah Shammah, the Jehovah Roi, Jehovah Rofeka, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sikenu. I mean, all of these things, somebody thought and experienced the, thought of and experienced the goodness of the Lord, so they described him. In this case, though, this is the Lord describing himself. Praise the Lord. And you see that one of the first attributes out of his mouth was mercy. He called himself, he said, look, the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord and said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Next thing, long suffering. And I put out the mercy of God and his long suffering. And you see, actually, the long suffering of the Lord. You know, I mean, God has patience, long patience, actually, not wanting that anyone should perish. I mean, he gives people what we might call a long rope, sometimes very, very long. And, you know, sometimes people's hearts are hardened just because there's no swift retribution to some of their actions. But the Lord knows what he's doing. In the book of Numbers, chapter 14 and verse 18. Numbers, a story we've told many times. The spies that went and spied out the land and all that, their report. Let's read this one verse, you know. And now I beseech you, you know, this was the Moses praying to the Lord when the Lord was so angry with the congregation. He wanted to destroy them. He said, look, let me alone and I will destroy these people and I make of you a great name. And Moses said, no. You know, what are the people going to say? Are they going to say because the Lord was not able to bring these people into the land which he promised them? You know, so now he's prayed and said, now, Lord, I beseech you, let the power of my Lord be great. We know your power is great. According as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering. So he's going to tell the Lord what he said, you know, and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers. So he's going to repeat here what the Lord said. But this time around, Moses put the long-suffering first because he, you know, he wanted to tap into that attribute in begging the Lord for mercy, you know, restraint, you know, because God was about to destroy these people, you know. And this teaches us a lesson, you know, that when we come to the Lord, you know, we've always spoken about, you know, find a promise of scripture or some word in this Bible that aligns with what you are requesting from the Lord and use that. And now we say again that find some attribute of the Lord. This is what Moses did. He found an attribute of the Lord and he put it forth in making this argument before the Lord. You know, the attribute that Moses was going to latch on to here was the long-suffering part and the great mercy of the Lord. He said, look, bear with these people. You know, don't destroy them. If you do, what is everybody else going to say? You know, and he began to pray, pardon, I beseech you, the iniquity of these people according to the greatness of your mercy. You know, and he said, look, you have forgiven them many times from Egypt until now. So bear with them again. Even now, I beseech you, O Lord. And calling upon the long-suffering attribute of the Lord. So we see that again, that indicates the ability to put up with something longer than generally imaginable. Yeah, so the Lord had to put up with the children of Israel for a whole lot longer than you would have thought he would, but he did. Now, the Lord's long-suffering, first we're talking about the long-suffering on the part of God, and then we talk about it on our part, you know, because we learn from God. His long-suffering attributes were first spoken of about the Lord. And then, you know, we learn about, you know, how to do it, use it in our lives as well. So God's long-suffering is generally to allow men time to repent. You know, although some people don't see it that way, you know, but God gives, you know, God holds off and holds off and holds off, you know, with, you know, the giving man more time to repent. Let's take a look at Psalms 86 and verse 15. The psalmist, you know, called out, you know, this attribute of the Lord, which should lead people toward repentance. But do they do that? Maybe not. Not so much most of the time, you know. So, but the Lord, he says, thou, O Lord, art a God of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth, you know, and turn unto me, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. You know, he's looking for forgiveness from the Lord here and mercy, and he's going to tell the Lord how long-suffering he is and how plenteous in mercy and truth he is. I mean, put that toward the Lord, put that forward when you pray, when you're asking for his mercy, and, you know, and the Lord will answer accordingly. Now, let's read in the New Testament some of the things that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 2. We read verses 4 to 5. We're still talking now, you know, about the long suffering of the Lord before we see how that applies to us. So in Romans chapter 2, this is verse 4, you know, it said, you know, again here it's saying, do you think, you know, O man, that you do evil at the same time you judge people for doing the same thing? Do you think you will escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that all these things, God's goodness, God's forbearance, God's long suffering, well, leadeth thee to repentance? You know, this is the reason why the Lord is long suffering. With the hope that give people more time, you know, for them to repent. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Romans chapter 9 and verse 22, again, illustrating, you know, the same things that the Lord, you know, hold out his mercy to people. You know, what if God, he said, willing to show his wrath and to make known his power, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath that were already fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory upon the vessels of mercy, which he had before time prepared unto glory, even those who he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So God exercising long suffering, putting up with vessels of wrath. He could have destroyed them a long time ago, but, you know, putting up, in fact, he said in the days, you know, of Noah after the flood, you know, I'm not going to destroy, you know, the world in this manner again. You know, at that time, the Bible said prior to the flood that, you know, man's ways were continually evil before the Lord. I mean, they just stressed him out with all of their, you know, evil and everything. And he had it up to here. It's like, you know, how long am I going to put up with these people? I'm not going to do it anymore. And he said, I'm going to wipe them off. Well, after he did wipe them off, he repented him of the evil and said, well, my goodness, I will not do that again. I put a rainbow in the sky and say, well, you know, not by water, at least. He would not destroy the world again. And, you know, but now we see that God is not quickly destroying people anymore like he did back then, you know, and he gives people opportunity. Hallelujah. Now, the opportunity when God holds back is actually for people to repent. And we pray that people will take advantage of God's long suffering and actually repent. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter was talking about these things also. He said in the last days, you know, all these things, you know, happen. People, you know, saying, well, where is the coming of the Lord and so forth. You know, everything he said, you know, it's the way it was since the beginning. Scoffers and so forth. Well, and then he began to talk to them. He said, look, you should know that there shall be, you know, in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. You know, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. This will be scoffers saying that. Wow, you know, he'd be telling us that he's coming. We don't see anything. Everything's just going on as it was. Now, for this, they are willingly ignorant of, he says, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, all of that called out by the word of the Lord, whereby the world that then was, in the time of Noah, being overflowed with water, perished. You know, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. God said, well, I won't destroy it with water this time, maybe with fire. But he said, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Can see the long suffering of God in there. I mean, when we, you know, if it takes the Lord 1,000 years of our time, only one day in his presence, you can imagine how long he can bear with us. He's been bearing with us, you know, for thousands of years. You know, he just looks at it as one day. So he's been bearing with the people. You know, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, whether he's coming again, that people think, well, he said it, but he's not coming. You know, well, it's not slack, you know, concerning that promise. There's a reason, you know, that he's doing it, you know, patient. It's not slack as men count slackness, but it's long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But one day, well, it'll be over quickly. You know, say, let the holy, he that is holy be holy still. He that is righteous be righteous still. He that is unholy and filthy, let them remain as such. Well, when that day comes, it's too late. You will draw that line in the sand, so to speak. But right now, the long suffering of God is there. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants them to come to repentance. You know, that's why he's holding out, you know, on the punishment or the judgment that he, you know, would come. There's a story in Luke chapter 13. I think I alluded to this the other day. There is this story, you know, we talked about it when we were talking generally about fruit, looking for fruit, but it's again long suffering. In Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9, we see this story and this parable that Jesus told about the kingdom. Again, we're still talking about the long suffering of the Lord. A certain man, he said, had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. You might remember that we read this story the other day, perhaps yesterday. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then he said to the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it, you know, take up space on the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. You know, let me dig around it. You know, let me put some fertilizers, manure, and so forth. And if it bear fruit, well, fine. If not, after that, you can cut it down. But you see, he's long-suffering for 3 years. I mean, and what would you plant the tree, you know, a cycle of, you know, probably it should be in the same year. Year after year, year after year, you can't find the fruit. But he's long-suffering. And even when he said, look, cut it down, you know, well, you know, someone appealed to him. The Holy Spirit, hold on. Let me walk on them some more, you know. And he said, well, fine, you know. And so you see his long-suffering is there, showing us that, look, God doesn't want swift destruction to come upon anybody, you know, but he wants people to repent, you know, if we can latch on to that attribute of the Lord, then there is more opportunity for people to repent. And, but here is the story of people. Generally, they will not repent. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 11 to 13 tells us the plight, miserable plight of man. You know, what they think about God's mercy, because they think that he's slack. No, he's not slack. Listen to this in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, well, because of God's long suffering, holds out, you know, he holds out the, you know, the golden staff, you know, of mercy for people. Because he doesn't repay their evil works right away, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because, you know, now, you know, if God were to, every time somebody said something wrong or did something wrong, smack them down right away, people would probably, you know, be scared and wake up to righteousness. But because the Lord's mercy endures forever, and he's long suffering, and he doesn't immediately dish out punishment for everything that somebody does right away, then unfortunately, the heart of people are hardened to do even more evil because they think they're getting away with it. Well, there is a day that God has appointed in the which he will judge everybody by Jesus Christ. You know, you can't get away with it forever, you know, but that's his long suffering, you know. So what I've done here is to try to show the attributes of the Lord in long suffering so that we can see what it means from his perspective. You know, put up with things, put up with things, put up with things, so that now when we begin to turn toward ourselves and see instructions and a commandment for us to exhibit long suffering, we will know what it means. We've seen how it, what it meant, you know, from God's perspective. So now let's read some of the exhortations that are in the scriptures that we should have long suffering toward one another. Of course, it is part of the fruit of the Spirit, as we read in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But let's see some commandments here about long suffering in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, Let's read verse 2. Maybe I'll read you from verse 1 just for some context. Verse 1. I therefore, Ephesians 1, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, we talked about this the other day, but you can see long suffering is in the mix right there. Long suffering is same as forbearing long. You know, forbearing one another in love. Somebody does something to you, you're not quick to react in the negative. You know, bear long with them. You know, this is an attribute of your Father. And we are supposed to come into that divine nature. We've seen how God bears long with people. You know, bear long with them. And then sometimes even the, you know, the grace to forgive comes because of long suffering. I mean, you know, say, well, but if you don't, you know, if we don't have this long suffering, we're most likely not to even be able to entertain forgiveness. You know, we're quick to rush to judgment. You know, we're quick to dismiss someone, you know, and so on and so forth. But the Lord's long suffering shows us, and now he commands us, that we also must exhibit the same attribute, one toward another, he said. Praise the Lord. So we are commanded to walk with long suffering. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Now this book of Colossians has a lot about practical Christian living and so forth. Yeah, but let's read verse 12 of Colossians 3. Put on therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, you know, all of these, some of these things are listed even in the fruit of the Spirit, long suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. You see that here in the New Testament, every time he's talking about long suffering, he's following that with forbearing. We read that in Ephesians 4 and 2. Right after the mention long suffering, he talked about forbearing one another in love. Well, here, right after he talked about long suffering, he puts right next to it, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. So you see that this all ties together. Long suffering is the ability for us to bear long, to forbear, you know, and it leads to the ability to forgive, you know, because these are all tied together. If any man have a quarrel against any, you know, even as Christ forgave you, so also you should do. That's right. So we see he's calling out this long suffering in connection with the ability to bear long. Somebody does something to you, you know, well, you know, hold off on the wrath, you know, because the wrath of man does not necessarily indicate the righteousness of God. Just hold off, you know, have long suffering, bear long with them. And it leads to the ability to forgive. You know, let us not be rash to dismissing people, you know, as incorrigible. You know, some people think that some people are incorrigible. You know, they're not, they're never going to change. They're always going to do that. Well, how do you know that? You know, people can change. Just have to be along with them. I mean, there's some amazing stories in the Bible. And somebody like Saul of Tarsus, we saw that he was instrumental in the persecution of the early church. When Stephen was being killed, he was right there. They laid all his, you know, their clothes at his feet when they were trying to stone Stephen to death. You know, they had take off their long robes and everything so that they would be able to swing their arms in the, with the stones. They put all that, you know, he was consenting to it. And then he went and just started getting letters from the chief priests and so forth in Jerusalem to go anywhere and find the find all the Christians, wherever they are, and pull them into prison. I mean, doing all these things. He himself with his own man said, I was injurious to the faith, you know. But he said, well, the mercy of God found me. Hallelujah. But, you know, God was long patient with him. Can someone change? Absolutely. You know, so let's not be so dismissive to think that, well, you know, so every, you know, when you somebody is in evil or they're incorrigible, they cannot change. That sounds of Belial. Maybe at the moment, but you never know. They might change. You know, God is the one that holds the key to all of that. We can continue to love on them and pray, you know, for them. Because the Lord is able, you know, to cause their hearts to turn again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Again, now we are talking about exhortations to long suffering. So what we're talking about now, we've seen that in the character of God. Now we're commanded to be of the same. Now, praise God. Now, let me read it from verse 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them, you know, that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. The same word here is translated from long suffering. No, you know, it's also patient, you know, bear with them, you know, what they do and so forth. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow that which is good. Always, ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves, which is the household of faith, the body ministry, and to all men. Praise the Lord. So here we are associating long suffering with patience. And you will see that patience is not listed in that word as patience in the fruit of the Spirit, but it's this, you know, from the same root word as long suffering. You can, you know, bear long and patient. So you can also think of long suffering as patience. Patience in the face of trouble and in the face of wrong that people may do to you. You know, there's also another aspect of long suffering, which Paul talked to Timothy about, the ability for you to endure hardness, you know. Now, the other parts were, you know, your relationship. Now we talk about, you know, how you use this long-suffering ability in yourself to also stand. You know, Bible says, well, having done all, therefore stand. Well, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, and he tells him, look, thou therefore endure hardness, you know, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So it's talking about, you know, if you are a soldier, you know, you're disciplined to take it in stride when things are rough. You can't run away from the battle when the battle gets hot. You got to endure because that's what you're trained for. You know, you're going into the battle. You're a soldier. It's not going to be easy. You're not going to just walk all over the enemy. You know, you don't think they're going to fight back. So in every aspect of life also, God is telling us, look, endure hardness. That's a part of long suffering. Something happens to us, you know, you just give up easily. Well, no, endure hardness. You know, everything that comes your way, little things here and there, practice endurance. We read this scripture the other day in Jeremiah 12 and 5. I said, look, he says, you know, if you contend with footmen and you're weary. You can't even bear, you're going to contend with horses, you know. So the little challenges that we have, we must practice endurance. You know, so I'm bringing the long suffering here in the form of endurance, you know, endure hardness. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you know, things may happen that brings discomfort and bring trouble, you know, to us. I mean, you know, things may not always be comfortable. If we choose only things that are comfortable, well, we're going to not be a good witness for Christ. But sometimes it's not comfortable to speak up for Christ. You know, people may reject you. They may, you know, disrespect you. They may say all kinds of evil against you falsely, you know, but we must learn endurance. Paul said, you know, for your sakes, I endure all things, you know, endure everything, you know. So sometimes, you know, we see some good, sometimes we see some evil, sometimes you see a little more evil than good. Well, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you learn to endure everything. So long suffering also can be viewed as endurance in the face of trouble. You know, to be able to bear it with the hope in the Lord that his deliverance is on the way. But you hang in there, you know, so that's also a part of hanging in there. It's long suffering. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. Hang in there. You know, sometimes situation is hard. I mean, you might be a student and you've been trying to take some certification, or you might be a professional trying to take a certification or pass an exam, you know, and it's just not working. You didn't do well the first time. Well, hang in there. If you don't, you know, learn this endurance and long suffering, people will quit, you know, at the first sign of trouble. You know, some people are quitters, you know, when the first sign of trouble, they give up. They're doing something, they meet some difficulty, they just give up. That's because they don't have this long suffering. That's what it is. They don't have it. You know, don't give up just because you meet some difficulty along the way. And this happens in every aspect of our lives. You're trying to do something, things don't go your way. Things are not always going to go our way at first in every situation, you know. And in raising children, raising my kids, I was all telling them, you don't have to give up just because something didn't work. You know, if you don't learn that, you might eventually become a quitter. Now, God doesn't want us to be a quitter, you know. You don't quit anything. In fact, Jesus, he called out that when he was speaking, you know, and giving these instructions, you know, in the book of Luke chapter 9, called it out in the very last verse, verse 62. He said, no man having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, so quitters that don't endure hardness, they're not fit, Jesus said. When you put your hand on the plow, when you start something, finish it. Praise the Lord. Be a finisher, not a quitter. You know, the finishers have the attribute of long suffering and endurance. Because, you know, no matter the challenge, you know, it's like you're doing a long race, a steeplechase with obstacles and so forth. Sometimes you fall down. Sometimes you have to slash through the water. You try to jump over the thing. You trip. Well, what do? You give up? No, you get up and you keep going. You must endure it. Praise God. You know, life is that kind of race. Life is not a sprint. You know, I enjoyed sprinting more than those or that Ironman races, but you know, Ironman races, those are the real test of endurance and long suffering. A sprinter, maybe you can do the, of course, you know, you still have to have training and endurance while you're training. You know, everything goes to that. You know, he that, you know, striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Paul said, you know, we train and train, even though you're going to run for only 10 seconds. You train for hours and weeks and months and so forth for that sprint. You know, so it's still, there's still training in it. But the, you know, when you sit back and watch those races, the ones that demonstrate not knowing the training that went into it, but the ones that demonstrate the life better are the Ironman races, the long ones, where you have to run, long, jump, swim, do all kinds of things, you know, wade through this and that, you know. Yeah. If you don't have endurance, you're going to fall by the wayside. You know, so that's an attribute of long suffering that we want to call out today. Don't be a quitter. Stay with the program. You know, Jesus said, look, count the cost before you start anything. If you don't know how to count the cost, you know, you want to build a tower, you start out, but you don't have enough finances. People are going to mock you, Jesus said. You know, or, you know, how in the world are you going to go to battle? You have 10,000 and the other guy has 50,000. You know, are you sure you can meet up the challenge? Count the cost first, you know, so that you don't be put to shame. But once you start, you got to finish. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, so don't be a quitter. Long suffering is the attribute that allows us to overcome the tendency to quit. We don't quit. Keep going. The same thing Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 13. They that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. You know, not because you started out the race. It's not the one that starts out the race that is crowned, you know, but the one that endured to the end. And even while you're enduring to the end, you must do it according to the rules. If you break the rules along the way, you still will not be crowned. So it is not him that starts the race that is crowned, but he that endures to the end. If you do not endure to the end, you know, you need that long suffering, you know, to be able to, you know, get to the finish line and get to the finish line according to the rules too. You know, don't just, you know, break the rules along the way. You know, so we need endurance to get through anything that we started. Praise the Lord. You know, the, you know, Paul, you know, said all these things to people in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He encourages people. He said, look, in 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, he gives this kind of admonitions, which actually tie into this. You know, here's the way he said it. He said, look, you need to know that those that run in a race, it's not everybody that starts the race, but they that, you know, endure, only one who receive the prize. So run that you may, you know, obtain. Every man that striveth is mastery, you know, is temperate in all things. They put themselves through endurance. You know, when they are in training, the athletes, you know, training camp and different things in preparation for stuff. You know, a race that's going to take just a few seconds. They take weeks, months, and so forth to prepare for it. Well, that's endurance. They have to, you know, do these things to, you know, and they can't quit. Sometimes they have injuries. You know, they go through and, you know, it's long suffering. You know, there was a story of an athlete, an American athlete, back in the day, in the, I think it was around the 1992 or 96 Olympics. This woman called, it's a public story, so I can say it here. It's a good story too. It was a story of long suffering and endurance, and she came out on top. You know, her name was Gail Devers. And, you know, she came down with, she was an athlete, a sprinter for the United States. And she was running in the 100 and so forth. you know, and hurdles as well. And she eventually came down with this thing they call Graves' disease. And this thing was eating away at her feet, but she wouldn't quit. She had long suffering. In fact, they begged her to quit. They said that you know, if you don't, you know, you're killed and you'll die. And there was some treatment too that she could take. But the drugs that were prescribed for her that she could take, you know, those drugs would work against her when they did drug testing. She would test positive to those drugs and she would be banned from competing, you know, and she wouldn't take it. And they begged her their life and so forth. But she, you know, she endured that thing. I've never seen anything like it, you know, and she came back out of that thing. You know, they almost cut off, almost amputated her feet. You know, how do you, if you amputate the feet of an athlete, a sprinter, what else she got left? But she endured that thing. She also had faith too. It was a personal faith. You know, she believed God. You know, and she endured, and you know, one or two people believed along with her, but most people didn't, you know, and, but she come out of that thing eventually. My goodness. It's an amazing story. And at one time, I think Netflix actually, you know, made a story about her. But, you know, look it up. It's a good story. She come out of that thing and eventually went on, you know, after she was healed of that thing, nobody thought she could survive it. 18 months, you know, was only left. You know, it's 4 years that it takes you to prepare for Olympics, but they do it every 4 years. By the time she, you know, went from one to the other, you know, she'd lost so many of those 48 months. She lost about 30 of those months and only 18 or so was left. And then she come back and she began to train and train and train. And, you know, this is one of those, you know, fairy tale endings. You know, it was a fairy tale ending because she come back and won that 100 meter in the next Olympics. After that, it was amazing. You know, it's a story that, my goodness, I've never heard anything, but it was long suffering. She stayed right there with it, you know, and, you know, when everybody told her to quit, her mind even told her to quit, but she wouldn't do it, you know. And she knew that she can come back from that thing. And she pushed herself, you know. And when she was healed, miraculously recovered from this thing, which nobody, not even the medical science, thought she could. They wanted to say, look, amputate the legs already. But she wouldn't do it. And finally, when she was healed, she had come back. It was an uphill training because now she's beginning away from the training for so many months, and then she had come back, push herself. It's amazing. And she got from all the way to the bottom of the stack to the top and won the next Olympics race. That's an amazing story. You can look it up. She's called Gail Devers. You know, she overcame that Graves' disease through long suffering. And she wouldn't quit. You know, so that's a lesson in long suffering in real life. I wanted to throw that story in. It's a real life, you know, story. And I always enjoy the stories of these athletes that endure a lot and come back from, you know, many disappointments and stuff. So, but it's long suffering. They would not give up. They stay with the thing and eventually come out on top. Praise the Lord. It's amazing, amazing stories. Like that in a real contemporary world, you know. So what then are we talking about? Well, Paul said some things like, you know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Philippians 4 and 13. Can you endure all things? For the elect's sake, he said, look, I endure all things. Well, you know, what things are we, are willing to endure, you know? Are we going to give up at the first sign of trouble? This is the lesson about long suffering. if you know how to dig in, you know, dig in. Once you put your hands on the plow, stay right there, Jesus said, and dig in. You know, don't let the devil, you know, run you off. Praise the Lord. Don't let anything run you off. You stay right there. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. You know, Paul was always trying to mentor this young Timothy guy. He was his son in the Lord, and he was trying to mention, and Timothy had an opportunity to be a pastor, a young man, and Paul was always, you know, trying to tell him stuff. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you know, and verse 10, he tells him, he said, look, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, you know, so that they also may obtain salvation. You know, I put up with all things. I endure all things, you know, shipwreck, he said, you know, put in prison, done this and done that, you know, but he endured. Even when you tell him, look, don't go there, because when you go there, you know, you're going to be bound like this and stuff. Say, no, I don't care. I'm willing not only to be bound, but also be killed if I have to be. You know, this man, he would not, it was, once he got into something, he was not a quitter. He would see it to the end. A prophet came and told him, he said, look, don't go to Jerusalem. I mean, whoever owns this girdle, Agabus said, whoever owns this girdle, this is how they will bind him when he gets to Jerusalem. Bound himself with the girdle and so forth. You know, it's not going to turn out well for him. And everybody around him, all the disciples, had to persuade him or dissuade him from going. You know, and he said, no, don't break my heart. I'm going. And, you know, he put his hand on the plow and he's not turning back. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, you know, this is long suffering in action. You know, don't turn back. Endure many things. Let's read some other things that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. We got to, this long suffering is something that we got to practice. Praise the Lord. Paul was giving testimony of himself, you know, all the things that he went through, how he endured many things. You know, he was talking about in all things, you know, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, you know, most of the time the whole city was, you know, in opera just to get a hold of one man, Paul. I mean, the whole city. In opera, you know, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by log of faint, you know, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. I mean, these are all the things, you know, that he went through in his life. And he's telling the people, look, these are all the things that I had to do. You know, sometimes I have to use knowledge. Sometimes I have to use, you know, patience. Sometimes I have to use long suffering, you know, whatever, you know. How did he use his knowledge? Well, at certain times he were in certain places when he saw that there were Sadducees and Pharisees there, he said, you know, then he would say something, you know, pit the other one against. He knew that the Pharisees believed in spirits and resurrection, and he knew the Sadducees didn't believe. So when he saw that both groups were there, he would say, you know, I'm standing here today being judged because I believe in the resurrection. And then all of a sudden, all the Pharisees will wake up and they will try to, you know, to be on his side. Let's use his knowledge. You know, he suffered many things, long suffering, kindness, Holy Ghost, love unfeigned, word of truth, power of God, armor of righteousness on the hand. By honor and by dishonor, I mean, evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown yet. I mean, look at all the things he put up with. As dying and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, you know, as poor yet making many people rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. I mean, his life was one of long suffering. Put up with a lot of things. And he's trying to tell them that, look, you too will have to put up with a lot of things. We must, with much tribulation, you know, enter into the kingdom. And people who don't have that, they will give up, you know, and long suffering is the ability to withstand stress, you know, and still don't yield to any pressure. And if we practice that, it will help us. And people who can't, you know, practice or know that, they give up on the first threatenings and so forth. They just give up. You know, so let's practice endurance. You know, is the aspect of long suffering that I'm talking about now. You know, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, like I said, Paul writing a lot of things to Timothy, and showing him his own way of life and encouraging Timothy to, you know, to do the same. He said, look, but thou hast known my doctrine. You've fully known my way of life, my doctrine, my manner of life. You've known my purpose. You've known my faith. You've known my long suffering. You've known my charity, my patience, my persecutions, my afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and some other places, at Iconium, at Lystra, and all these places. You know, the persecutions I endured, and our endurance, that's long suffering. You know, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. That's right. And he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. There's no way around it. You know, if you don't want to suffer persecution, then you will deny the Lord and you will quit. You know, but if you are going to live godly, people are going to come after you. And you are going to suffer persecutions, you know. So, this is, you know, what we know. And this is the lesson that we are bringing and sharing today. Long suffering is that attribute that will let you be able to endure many things. And so it's a prayer that we need to pray. We should, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, be able to endure hardness and learn this long suffering. And sometimes God will allow, you know, some things to test us, so to bring out some of these attributes in us. You know, it may not answer you right away, you know, and so you can endure. And we know that that's also, you know, the other day I said the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of spiritual maturity. Yeah, think of a parent that has a little child. You know, and look at how they deal with those little children. When they're babies and they're crying and they're helpless, at the first cry of the baby, the parent is going to jump. You know, it may be in a room, maybe you have your little baby monitor on or whatever, and you're in another place. The moment they cry, you're going to leave whatever you are doing. It doesn't matter if you're in the kitchen or anything. You're going to run there because they are just a baby and they cry, and you're going to run to them. You know? And this is what parents do, you know. I've been through it. A lot of you have been through it. You know, but as they grow up, you know, after a while, sometimes they cry, you don't even pay attention. Because it's a sign of growing up, you know, sign of maturity. You know, one time my grandkids came over and I took them to some play place where they jump up and down, do all kinds of things and so forth, you know. And you sign a waiver when you first get in there because they might hurt themselves when they're jumping and doing all these things. So, one of my granddaughters, you know, after a few minutes of jumping up and down, she came running to me that she hurt her ankle, you know, and this and that. Oh, and I was so distressed or troubled about it, you know. So I said, you know, sit down with me here for a bit. You know, we were, you know, and I was helping out, massage the thing, rub her and so forth. And I said, well, you got to sit down a while until that thing blows away. You know, later on, thank God she got up and she went to play as if nothing happened. So I got back home, told her dad, my son, I said, well, you know, she hurt her ankle. He just laughed. He just laughed. He said, well, she does that all the time. She'll shake it out. Said, in the house, you'll say, I hurt my ankle on the staircase. You just ignore it. I'm like, ignore it. And I was trying to freak out because, you know, they don't live with me. So I didn't really see them growing up like that. But you can see what I'm saying. Maybe when she was a little baby, you would have freaked out. And I say, don't worry about it. And sometimes they fall. And you say, don't worry about it. Get up. You know, you bring them, comfort them a little bit, but you're not stressed out anymore like you would when they were still a baby. It's a sign of maturity that it can take it. Hallelujah. You know, so spiritually speaking also, God may allow some things to help develop, endurance and stamina, spiritual stamina. We need that. It comes from endurance and it comes from long suffering. And so this is the lesson today. Praise the Lord. In all things, we got to endure. Now, when you talk about sufferings and persecutions and so on and so forth, everybody needs long suffering. And the scripture tells us many things that you wonder, why does the Lord say these things? Why not the other way around? For instance, the scripture might say something like, God wants, after you've suffered, say, but the God of all grace, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Why? Why after? Why not before? Remove the suffering already. But God wants us to endure and develop long suffering. So he said, after that you have suffered a while, he will make you perfect. The whole time he's watching over you. He's not gonna let you suffer too badly, but he's watching over you. But sometimes he let you suffer a while because he developed toughness, he developed stamina, inside of you. And he said, after you suffer a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you, And, it's the same thing when you're training, and your trainer is there. And you do this and you say, no, do it again. You can't quit. If he wants you to swim 10 laps, you swim 4 and you say you're tired. I say, no, do it again. you got to keep doing it. They're trying to build endurance, long suffering, training and so forth. I've even watched, divers that go under water and so forth for retrieval and recovery and things like that. And the Navy SEALs and all these things, sometimes they got to go under and hold their breath underwater for a long time. It's unimaginable. I can't do it. I can't hold my breath for that long, and they can sit there, hold their breath underwater. I mean, and sometimes, when you're underwater, deep dive, there's a lot of pressure on down there as well. and you sit down there, try to hold your breath for a couple minutes. How do you do it? trying to train them long suffering, to bring endurance, to bring stamina. These things are around us in all our daily lives, And so, we've got to apply that for ourselves. We've seen how God did it and we must do it as well. And it brings us right back to where we started with God. Enduring many things to give people an opportunity to repent. Well, we should do the same thing. We should, extend the same grace to others that trespass against us. When we are able to do that, then we are children of God. Praise God. In the book of Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, it says, look, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Why must? Did he say we may? No. He said we must. I mean, he was encouraging the disciples here, and exhorting them to continue in faith. Acts 14 and 22. Because he said, we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. It's not perhaps you will. No, it's you must. you know, so you got to endure. You got to continue in the faith. Don't let anything, you know, don't let anything be that tipping point. You know, some people say, well, everybody has a breaking point. Well, yeah, the breaking point is what God, through endurance, will try to stretch for you. You know, if your breaking point is 1 minute, you know, of enduring something, well, God is trying to train you to, you know, take 2 minutes, take 1 hour, take 3 hours. You know, don't fly off the handle at the very first sign. Yeah, you know, that's no endurance at all. You know, calm down, you know, endure, you know, and perhaps it'll blow over. So these are the lessons of endurance. And I want to stress finally today that it has to do, I mean, long suffering has to do with endurance. You know, you got to endure. The patriarchs that went before us, we are told that, you know, they endured many things. You know, he said, look, we desire that every one of you, this is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence and full assurance of hope till the end. And that ye be not slothful, you know, but followers of them who through faith and patience, that's long suffering, inherit the promises. You know, the promises may not come quickly. You have to patiently endure. And listen to this, in verse, you know, verse, what verse is it? Verse 15. And so then, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Not before, but after. So that patience endurance is what we call long suffering. Finally, the lesson where we're going through today is long suffering, which is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And again, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. Today's lesson has been about long-suffering. And I'm going to leave it there because I'm past the time and open it up for discussion. But first, I am going to pray. I want to pray the prayer, you know, for endurance and the ability to take one and keep on ticking. That's right. You know, don't give up. Don't fold up. Don't throw down the towel or throw in the towel just because some hardship along the way. Father, I pray, Lord, thank you for this lesson in long suffering and endurance, patient endurance and long suffering. You know, for bearing many things and enduring, you know, hardship and so forth that you have spoken to us today. And also having this, endurance one toward the other, not quick to judge, not quick to dismiss people, you know, but to be along with them, even as the Lord bears along with us. I pray, Lord, for the ability, especially in these last days, that we may, you know, develop that spiritual stamina, that ruggedness, you know, to withstand. And the Bible says, having done all, to stand therefore in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that you help us, Lord, to learn to stay the course. Paul said, I finished my course. He was not a quitter. But Lord, those of us that have put our hands on the plow, help us, Lord, to stay with the program and not be a quitter. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid this foundation. His hands also will finish the building of it, saith the Lord. Your hands that have started this, whatever it is you put your hand into, stay the program. Don't be a quitter, but plan it out first before you jump into it. Look before you leap, people say. But the Bible puts it this way. The prudent man foreseeth the evil. He checks things out before he takes the step. But once you get in there, you stay the program and don't be a quitter. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for grace to endure our, you know, blessed is the man, James 1 and 12, that endureth trials and so forth. For the trying of your faith will work something glorious out for us in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you give us the grace to endure the hardness that comes from our daily lives. Sometimes disappointments, sometimes this and that. But give us the grace to endure. We've heard lessons of people that endured tremendous afflictions. And they stayed with the program, came out as a winner. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Help us, O God, every one of us, also to bear long with one another. And we will forbear and forgive. Forbear in love and all these things we've read today. I pray the Holy Spirit to give us the grace, develop this attribute in ourselves as we are bearing, learning to bear the fruit of this Spirit. Holy Spirit walking in us and we allowing Him to do the same. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.